Several years ago, we were at the ocean, and I was out on this sandbar playing with a friend. We're having just a good time, and we're out there so long, we realized, hey, we're tired. We probably should go back in and get something to drink and something to eat. And we started to swim back in, and in between the sandbar and the rest of the beach, there was this kind of undertow, this kind of rip current that was going on. And I'm swimming. And I'm a good swimmer. At one point, I was a licensed lifeguard, and I'm swimming and swimming and swimming, and I'm getting absolutely nowhere. And I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I was so exhausted. I'm like, I'm never going to make it. And then I saw like some fish jumping and splattering around me, and I realized there's some kind of predatorial animal in the water with me. And the fear of God unleashed upon me, and I swam and swam and swam, and next thing I know, my hand was digging right into the sand. I clawed my way up, and I passed out. The reality is, if you get caught in a rip current, you don't try to swim into it. You let it drift you out, and you swim to the side. And when you swim to the side, you'll get out of the rip current. You won't get immediately to the destination that you want to get to, but you'll get to safety. I think living in this life apart from God's Spirit in and through us is like trying to swim through a riptide. We will try and we will be exhausted. But if we let the Spirit of God take us where he wants us to go, life will be a whole lot smoother and easier. We're in this series called The Breath of Life, and this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 11 this morning. This morning we were talking about life in the Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, did I say 11? Okay. I'll chalk that up to something. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Hey, before we go any further, let me just pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, I know that the enemy of our soul does not want to hear from Romans chapter 8 this morning. He would love us to continue to get exhausted and tired in all avenues of life. Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring us to a place this morning where we rest in you. Have your way, I pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8. Paul is speaking here to the church in Rome. This is one of the great theological books, doctrinal books of the New Testament. As you read through 3, 4, 5, and 6, you get all this amazing, just amazing chunks of truth about what it means to have a relationship with the God of the universe through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who then imparts his Spirit into us. Amazing stuff. And then we get to chapter 7, and Paul walks us through this crisis of then trying to do it, even though he has Jesus, trying to do life apart from him and get his eyes focused off of God and on to trying to be good. And there's this crisis of faith that takes place. And then chapter 8 really reveals the answer to the crisis is life in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, life in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. I want to read the first 8 verses for us this morning. And this is what it says. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by its flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So it starts off, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whenever we see a therefore, we have to find out what the therefore is there for. And so the therefore is from the previous chapter, chapter 7, when Paul is going through this crisis. And I just want to lay it out for you. You can go back and read it later if you want to. But Paul has laid out what this amazing relationship with Christ is and what life apart from the Spirit is like. He says, when I try to conquer coveting, coveting welled up in me all the more. When I focused on coveting, it welled up in me all the more. When I focus on sinning, it wells up in me all the more. When my focus is on sin, even though I don't want to, I'm more than likely going to sin because that's what my focus is on. So he wraps it up. When I want to do good, evil is right there. And why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do and don't do and do, do, do? And he's round and round and round. And he lands here with, therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And notice it doesn't say, therefore, there is less condemnation. There is no condemnation. So no condemnation is allowed. So shame no longer has authority in your life. So guilt no longer has authority in your life. So not good enough no longer has authority in your life. So mistakes no longer have authority in your life. Lack of self-worth no longer has authority in your life. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Zip. Zero. Because when the God of the universe now looks at you, he looks and sees the righteousness of his son who died for you. So there is zero condemnation. Can I get an amen? Thank you. All right. Come on. He bore that sin upon the cross for us. Those who live according to the flesh will stay in that rhythm. If we just stay, if we keep our mind focused on the flesh, we're just going to go back there. We're going to follow what Paul was saying before. And that's the kind of stuff that is going to flow through our mind. We can't allow that to happen. Our mind needs to be controlled by the Spirit. If you have a relationship with God, your mind needs to be controlled by the Spirit. So we can't fall back into those old patterns. This was manifest I saw this played out in real time a couple weeks ago. We have here at this church what we call healing prayer, where we help people remove spiritual blocks and barriers between them and a relationship with God. It can be something simpler, it could be something traumatic and profound. Oftentimes we'll get counselors who are working with somebody and they've reached a roadblock, they can't seem to get through it, and that was the case. Somebody referred this man to us, so he came to us, and as soon as he walked in, my soul said, through the Spirit, this is going to be good. And he began to share his story, and I realized that he was trying to work out being a Christian without knowing that Christ had already worked it out in and through him. And he was sharing his life and everything that God had led him to do and how he was a coach and how he did this and how he did these kind of things and how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had accomplished all these different things through him. And then he said, but I just want to be in God's perfect will. I just want him to be pleased with me. And I said, brother, he's already pleased with you. There is nothing that you can do, past, present, or future, that will make him love you more or less than he does right now. And he looked at me with these huge, wide eyes and was like, say that again? I'm like, Jesus did it for you. Stop playing the Holy Spirit and let him lead you. Because when he looks at you, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And he began to cry. And we prayed with him, and all his countenance on his face, his demeanor just completely changed. And he was like, people need to know about this. They need to know. And I'm like, yes, they do. We cannot do it on our own. That's why God, through his son, Jesus, did it for us. keep on reading, because this gets good. In verse 9 through 11, it says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." This is, come on. In the realm, or just the concept here is just, if you're in the flesh, you're going to be governed and controlled. Paul is repeating this over and over and over again because he wants the church in Rome to get it. He doesn't want them to miss it. So all throughout this chapter, he's repeating himself. In case you didn't get it, it's not about you, it's about God in you, over and over and over again. So you are not in the realm of the flesh any longer, you're in the realm of the Spirit. So if the Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit is in you, and you're in the Spirit. It's all good. But if you don't have Christ, he's not there, then life gets tough. So he's pleading with the church here to find Jesus. If you're not in Christ, your body is subject to death. But if you're in the Spirit, your body has been given life. The same, Ephesians puts it this way, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And so you don't just have life, you have life to the full in the Spirit. You have power for living. And I've been fortunate enough to see the power of the Holy Spirit manifest in crazy, ridiculous ways. Throughout my life, I've seen healings, I've seen miracles, I've seen God do just some amazing stuff. But one of my favorite things that the Holy Spirit does is give life and power for every circumstance. Sometimes we are so focused on the miraculous that we forget like the small, tangible things that God does on an everyday basis. And we allow the circumstances of life to dictate our view of the world. I said before that song got me choked up, How He Loves, because the story behind it is crazy. It was 2002, and a youth pastor by the name of Stephen Coffey was praying with his youth leaders after a night of youth group, and he was pleading with God, "I just want these kids to get it. I want them to know you the way I know you." And apparently, according to those there, he closed his prayer with, "Lord, I would gladly give my life for the youth of this nation to know you." And a couple hours later, he died in a car accident. Another part of the country, there was his best friend named John Michael McMillan, who was in a studio recording songs, and he got word from his dad that his best friend had died. And he says for a couple days, he just had it out with the Lord. "I hate you. I'm so frustrated. He was one of the good guys. Why did you allow this to happen?" And they battled. And guess what? God's a big God, and he can handle your frustration and anger. He himself cried, knowing the outcome of Lazarus. He cried anyways, knowing that he was going to raise him from the dead. He can take whatever you can dish out. And so John Michael McMillan poured his heart out to God. And in the end, he landed with these lyrics. "He is jealous for me, love like a hurricane, I am set free, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your affection is for me." Regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of my pain, I know that you, God, still love me. In and we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way you love me. This power for life can happen in the miraculous and being able to tie your shoes in the morning. He cares about it all. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in it all. He wants to be with you, present, knee-deep in every experience that you find yourself in. He is not far off, looking with displeasing eyes. He is in you through Christ. Let's read 12 to 17. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. If we are heirs of God, then we are co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also see his glory." You don't have an obligation to the old life anymore. You don't have an obligation to the flesh anymore. You don't have an obligation to try to be good or be gooder. You have an obligation now to the Spirit to allow him to do what he wants to do in and through you. So allow yourself to be led by the Spirit because you are a child of God. You're no longer a slave to the world. You're no longer a slave to the old patterns. The old voices, the old rhythms don't have any authority in your life anymore. So don't allow them to have voice or authority anymore, Paul is saying. You don't have to listen to that anymore. You need to hear the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, Philippians tells us. Because you're an heir to the creator of the universe. Let that sit for a second. So regardless of what suffering you may experience in this world, Christ suffered more for you and for me. And regardless of what suffering we experience in this world, the God of the universe is not abandoning us. He is walking with us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit for glory now and glory then. And so often, I want to pick it back up and do it all myself. Well, I just want him to know that I love him. I just want him to know that he didn't die in vain. I just want. And it becomes about me and not about him. We just had our National Council for the Christian Mission Alliance recently. And I wasn't able to go in person this year. I honestly didn't think it was going to happen because of the pandemic. And they pulled it off. And so my FOMO kicked in, my fear of missing out kicked in big time as I watched my brothers and sisters from around the country and around the world gather to worship God. I love going to that place and interacting with people because there's people in ministry all over the world. And generally, when I get to that point, God speaks to me loud and clear that I have been trying to do it apart from him. So I'm speaking from my hypocrisy this morning. I hope you hear me. I so identify with Paul on so many levels. Why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do? And at the end of the day, I've realized that I've picked it up and I've tried to do it on my own apart from the Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. Let him. So 2 years ago at our national council convention, I was sitting there and I was listening to this brother and sister speak, and they were just pouring out the good stuff. And at the end, somebody got him and said, hey, in a minute we're going to do an altar call. If you need to get before God, we're going to sing one more song. And it was like, I don't know, 1,000 of us were like, we don't need one more song. We need to meet Jesus. And we just started walking to get on our face before God. And I sat down in front of the stage and just said, okay, I realize, Lord, I've picked this thing up and I've been trying to do it on my own. And as I'm sitting there praying, all of a sudden I felt an arm over my shoulder. And this guy is praying over me. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Thanks, brother. I didn't ask for prayer. I didn't raise my hand. Hey, somebody pray for me. He just started praying. And then all of a sudden it switched, and it was almost like he was speaking straight from God. He said, Jeff, you don't have to do it on your own. I'm with you. I love you. I care about you. You're my son. And all of a sudden, I felt all power go out of my being. I had no strength in my arms. I had no strength in my legs. And I just kind of sank. And this guy put his arm around me, and then he hugged me. And just us, a bunch of grown men, holding each other in front of a stage, in front of about 2,000 people, and he's just rocking me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Just rocking me. And I was like, this has got to be the weirdest thing anybody's ever seen in their life. But it was the most peace I'd felt in a really long time. Because I stopped trying to do it on my own. The Lord put me in literally a physical timeout so he could speak to me. I got done, I looked over, and it was a buddy of mine, his name is Mally. He's an Irishman who pastors in Paris, France, which is crazy. And he looks at me and he's like, I have no idea what that's all about. He's like, what did I say to you? And I'm like, you don't know? And he's like, I have no idea, but I hope people don't think we're weird, because we're a bunch of grown men holding each other, rocking back and forth. And I said, honestly, Mally, I don't care what people think, because you just spoke from God for me. And his wife saw us, and she came up, and she's like, you guys, so good, come here. The creator God of the universe knows you and wants to be known by you. He loves you and wants to be in and through you, through his spirit. So I want to land with these three questions, because looking at this passage of scripture, we see all three works of what is known as the Trinity being manifest. So the first is, have you given your life to Christ? We do not get the Holy Spirit without giving our life to Christ. Jesus has done it for us. We need to stop and acknowledge that Jesus was who he said he was, to give our lives over to him. And then because of that, he gives us the Holy Spirit to be in us, through us, and with us. And so, will you allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in and through you? Will you stop and let him work in and through you? And then maybe lastly, some of you just need to know this last. Your Father God loves you. You are his. He loves you. You are his. He loves you. You are his. Let's take a moment and just kind of sit in this and respond. Lord, regardless of whichever of those responses we are at this morning, I ask that you would speak loudly and clearly to our minds. As the voice of the enemy is silent, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak. That if we haven't given our life to Christ, that we would do it now. If we've been trying to be a good Christian, that we would stop and allow your Holy Spirit to do his work. And for those who need the reminder this morning that we are yours, that your peace would rest upon us this morning, knowing that the good, good Father loves us. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and respond and worship this morning.